After a 6-11 season, Saints Executive Vice President GM Mickey Loomis and Head Coach Kellen Moore will hold the Saints year-end press conference, and out there covering that for us is Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, and WWL Sports Director Steve Geller. Gentlemen, welcome.
What's going on, Lou? How are you doing today?
So you tell us what's going on out there. What is the mood in the room?
A lot of people looking at empty chairs right now. We got the side-by-side setup, which is not typically how we do it. We got Mickey Loomis, Kellen Moore walking in right now.
They are punctually on time. They're ahead of schedule They're walking to the podium right now. But we got a packed house of core for the season-ending press conference for both Mickey Loomis and Kellen Moore as they sit down at the podium right now. We're going to let them take over, and you'll hear the guys talking about the black and gold wrapping up this year and getting ready for next season. Good man.
You ready? Okay. Well, thanks for being here, and we're here to answer your questions.
When you think back to when you think back to a year ago, kind of different things were, no head coach, maybe some quarterback questions off that season, but now ending a year strong with the coach in place and potentially franchise QB, how much easier does that make entering an offseason when those questions are answered?
It certainly makes it easier. But it's different. There's still lots of questions. There's lots of things that we have to accomplish and do. It's just the tasks are different. I think that's the main thing.
Can I follow up just real quick? Just maybe it's obvious, but I feel like that's what this is for. I know Kellen was asked a couple of times during the year. Tyler Shuck is your quarterback in 2026. There's not going to be a competition. You all are comfortable going forward with that?
Yeah, we feel great with Tyler. Tyler's done an awesome job through this entire process. He's gotten a ton better. He's taken advantage of a bunch of opportunities. So we're excited to have a full offseason to build. I thought what Spencer did in the season also is worth commending. What he put out there on film, I think, is really good film. He's a really good quarterback. He's a starting caliber quarterback as well. And so I feel like that quarterback room has the depth and obviously the talent to be really successful.
What has been the most surprising thing to you about Tyler Shuck's success?
I don't know that there's anything surprising for us. I mean, we thought a lot of him going into the draft. And collectively, I'm talking about our personnel staff, our coaches. So we felt like, man, this guy's got a chance to be a real good quarterback in the league, and that's why we drafted him. So I think, I don't think surprising is the right word. Probably progressed a little faster than maybe we expected. But I think our coaches, did a great job with him. I think our players embraced his opportunity, and obviously the player himself embraced his opportunity.
Is there a balance to strike between having a young team, a young core, but also an extremely winnable division? How do you fall on those things between building the young core versus even when the NFC South? Possibly, next year.
Yeah. I think all of us, every guy with every team, whether it's a coach or GM, thinks, they have a vision for how they can win their division, regardless of how strong or weak, you may think it is. So we're going to approach it the same way. Hey, how do we improve enough to win the division? And we don't want to just win the division. I mean, we don't want to be an 8-8 or 8-9 winning team in a division. We want to win the division, be dominant, and have a chance to make a run in the playoffs. So that's what our goal is going to be.
Do you worry about having everybody on the same timeline, or is there a possible mix of having some older guys on 1-year deals versus acquiring 27-year-olds?
Well, I think every team has that, regardless of whether you plan for it or not. You're going to have that. That circumstance, because you need and want some veteran players in your building. But we do, we do talk about, hey, the core players on your team and what's their timeline in terms of contracts and how do we manage it. So we do have discussions about it.
Without knowing your culture, it's been at least a very, very long time since you're on a team contract. What sort of advantages?
Yeah, I just, you know, it's just easier to manage your resources. I don't know if it's easy. I don't know if easier is the right word, but you have some leeway to manage resources a little bit. And so, but you still have to make really good decisions. And, you know, I think it's pretty well documented that teams that have the quarterback on a rookie deal have been able to do some things and have some success. And so part of that is just building your roster and managing it over, you know, the 2-3-4 year period that you're facing. And it's just a different equation. It's a different math equation, really.
And you've talked just a lot in recent years about you wanting to get the cap kind of back for Nico, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you feel almost there on that?
I feel pretty good about it. Yes, I do feel good about where we're at.
If you're along the team building lines, I mean, we've had this session so many years in the past where you don't like the word rebuilding or like the complete teardown or whatever. Did you adjust like your willingness to embrace that? I mean, there were obviously some signs trading Rashid Shaheed, trading for Jalen Polk, all the rookies who play and stuff. Did you yourself even lean more into that than you expected?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I would say that's true.
And what led to it? What did you like about it, I guess, as you were going through it?
Yeah, I think the beginning of that was just Derek not being able to play this year. You know, that's the beginning of it. And then you look at, okay, we're going to have a young quarterback, and there's going to be a lot of development. And so how can we develop the rest of the team along with his development so that, you know, we marry this timeline of his improvement and things that we're going to need to be able to do to support him, you know, with a really good defense, with, you know, a good run game. So those are the kinds of things you keep in mind.
Along those lines, Kellen, was it always your coaching philosophy to play guys like Lindsey Round and Danny Stutchman and Jonas Sanker as early as you did, or did that come from conversations about, hey, this looks like the direction of this team?
I think the important thing about that is that those guys were ready when the opportunity presented itself, and no timelines are going to be the same. You know, felt like, you know, Tyler's development was a great example of that, of his willingness to get better through an entire season. You know, Quincy kind of had an opportunity through injury to hop in there. Danny kind of was a guy that I think is a great example of just being a really talented player that we feel great about and find different roles and different opportunities where he can get on the field. And so a lot of these timelines were different, but I think it was important to see these guys play and have exposure, and I thought a lot of these guys took advantage of the opportunity.
I mean, you both said you were surprised at all by Tyler's development. Did any part of it, you know, sort of wow you a little bit during the course of this last 8 weeks or so?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some flashes there that he is, you know, whoa, that's really good. But I don't think surprise is the right word because you know, you have expectations when you draft somebody in the second round or first round, and because you know you value the talent and you have a vision for that player or those players being successful, and so I don't think surprise is the right word, but obviously pleased.
How does this development of the first assistant either change your outlook around what this team could be, or how you maybe want to pivot to go this offseason to have an impact?
That's a good question. I don't know that we've determined that. You know, that's part of this postseason process that we're going to go through, evaluating the roster, determining what we need to do in this offseason. Obviously, we feel good about the quarterback position.
And then what did you see how Kelly just go in the postseason?
I'm sorry, say that again?
What did you see Kelly
go in the I haven't thought about it in that term, but listen, I think he's done an excellent job. And under some really difficult circumstances, you know, we hired Kellen under a set of circumstances relative to the quarterback, and then that changed dramatically. And, man, he didn't bat an eye. Just, okay, what's the next step that we have to do, and how do we attack it? And that was impressive right from the beginning. And then during the course of the season, obviously there's circumstances and things that come up during the course of the year that you can think you're prepared for, but you're really not because you haven't been put in that position. And I think in virtually every case, he handled it really well, and so that's been exciting to see.
How do you handle the situation? You're going to obviously have a situation coming up with some legendary veteran players, and Cam and DeMario, and even Taysom. Have you thought about how you'll
handle that, what their futures could be, letting them test for agency or maybe what the plan could be?
Yeah, you know, I think, and it's not just specific to those guys, but we, you know, there's a process that we go through at the end of the season. It's an evaluation, and then it's a determination of, you know, hey, do they want to come back? Do we want them back? And then even that, there's still, okay, there's a lot of variables, you know. What's the contract situation? What's the timeline? It's just, there's just too many variables for me to give you a definitive answer on any of that. But look, I'm excited to hear when those guys declare they want to be back here. And I would say on the surface, we definitely want to have them back. But there's just so many other variables that exist that I can't really answer that question right now.
Well, and maybe from the season that super instructive for you, is there any sort of stuff you can do this year where you're kind of identifying any change in the process here?
Oh, no question. I think that's the beauty of what we're going through right now is, you know, Mickey's kind of alluding to this whole offseason process. It's just a really awesome opportunity to grow as a team, certainly myself individually, to just go back through the entire season, our entire process from the offseason program to how we went through the draft process, all the way leading into the season. And so there's definitely opportunities to grow, get better. I feel like credit to our guys, again, like we've said a lot. The people that we have in this building are really special. I think that's certainly the foundation of this, you know, from the connection between the personnel department, the coaching, everyone else that works in this building from a day-to-day process, the players, the buy-in, the connection, I think is really, really special. And so if you start there and just keep getting better, we'll be on the right path.
There was a lot of fluctuation between the roster, whether it be trades or injuries. How much did that impact development of the offense and the patient?
Say that again, sir.
The fluctuation of the roster came to injuries and trades. Yes. How much did that fluctuate and maybe alter the timeline of developing the offense the way you wanted to?
I just say that's going to happen every single year. Injuries, adjustments to the roster, and just your ability to pivot is really important. And so certainly we feel like there's a lot of opportunities to grow, to get better collectively. And I think that's the beauty of what this offseason is going to provide us is just a really clean platform to use last year as an excellent resource to evaluate it, dig into everything, and then find a really good path moving forward. Well, certainly, you know, we feel great about the staff. It's an awesome staff. Really appreciate these guys coming together. And, you know, you always have to stay ready for different adjustments. We have a really talented staff, and so you got to be ready for the opportunities that may arise for these guys. And so we'll go through that whole process as we go through this. But it's been a really good staff.
For both you guys, just how much did it alter the vision after Derek decided to retire? And just what was that like kind of going through just like a complete change of plan at that time?
Well, you know, I would say that it just catches you a little bit off guard. And so you got to kind of recalibrate, okay, what's our plan going forward? Early in the off season, it's different than it is later. And then, I don't know, it's hard to describe, really. It's a good question, but it just changes your course a little bit. Would be the best way to describe it.
Yeah, have you had any conversations with them? Do you think you could possibly play again, and how would that impact the organization? Do you have the rights to him?
I mean, he's on our retired list, so no, I haven't had any conversations with him.
And then, Kellen, you navigated this first season. You came in, I'm sure you had a plan to how you were going to handle some of the adversity you did. Was it more difficult? Was it, you know, what you expected? I mean, just kind of take us through where you were at a year ago and where you're at now.
I think it's something we talked about. I think that's the thing that acknowledge it going into the season. We could be in a playoff run right now. We would have already faced adversity as well. Every team faces adversity. So I think it's how you handle adversity and how you're prepared for it and having the right people. And, you know, certainly we went through some tough stretches. We had a couple, you know, four-game losing streaks in there. And I think the beauty of it was the way our guys responded, the way this building operated. You would have never thought that, you know. And certainly we've all been exposed to different buildings, different structures, maybe have had more challenges in those situations. I think the people aspect of this thing was really special. And so, you know, we talked about some of those leaders, their willingness to embrace some change, some adjustments, some things that maybe feel different than what they're used to. And, you know, when those guys follow that, certainly the young guys will follow that lead.
How much does it help you to just know that you can brainstorm around pieces that the ones that you have now are going to be there? Because I assume that changed on you last year too, that you kind of envisioned one thing you have to adjust. Like, just knowing some stuff settled, like, does that help you just with what you're doing?
I think it's a great opportunity in the offseason to have some solidified, you know, guys in place that, you know, certainly you can build around. And I think that's what's great. You know, we have a season of plenty of highs and lows, a lot of good film out there, a lot of good things that we can improve on. And we get to go through this thing collectively as a group and kind of paint the picture of what this thing needs to look like moving forward. And so, you know, coaches certainly will do a lot of that. Players will be a part of that process as we go through this. And there's a lot of excitement around that.
Mickey, how high is it on your list? Because I know you obviously have to do a whole process of evaluating what you need, what your plan is. How high is it on your list to get an extension with Chris Olave done? And are you optimistic that you guys will be able to do that?
Well, you know, Chris is obviously an important player to us and had a really good season. But, you know, we haven't even really spent much time thinking about that right now. I mean, we've had a couple conversations with his agent, but, you know, that's part of that'll be, you know, part of this offseason. I can't tell you how high it is or low it is. I don't have the whole list yet.
Ellen, are there any specific players you require long we have this offseason? Anybody who can this game or something?
I don't think anyone that should necessarily impact you know, training camp that was in addition to people that already had injuries prior to the, you know, during the season. Nothing on the back end of the season necessarily, but, you know, that's what NFL seasons are. There's plenty of guys that'll go through a lot of cleanups and different things through the next week or two, and those guys will go on that process. OTAs, you know, some guys go through a little bit of a process where they're working their way back, but, you know, training camp looks like, you know, a lot of optimism that a lot of guys will be available and ready to go. Yeah, just the AC.
Last year when you got hired, you signaled out certain players, and Alvin was one of them. Do you still have the same belief? You know, obviously, if you play with a running back over 30, you look at what's happened in the last 2 years, is it more injury and circumstances? Like, do you still have the same belief in Alvin?
Yeah, I love Alvin. What Alvin's meant to this organization and awesome. He's come in, he's put in a ton of work. Obviously, these seasons all take different paths, and, you know, he's had to navigate an injury, and so, you know, the most important thing for him is just to get healthy and be back to his self. And so, you know, he's done a really good job of leading this group and providing that leadership, and so, you know, excited for him.
What are your impressions, Mickey, overall of the rookie class, the way that Quincy steps up, the way that Devin, yeah, Benito, Tyler Shaw, Kevin Banks, and everyone?
Yeah, I think that I think all of us would say we're pretty excited about the group as a whole. The things that they did, sometimes under different circumstances, Kelvin coming in, moving right to left tackle. You know, he had some really good flashes during the course of the season. Obviously, there's room for improvement. Tyler, what he's done, you know, that's been the focal point, I think, in the media about Tyler. But what Jonas Anker and Devin Neal coming in, Quincy, who am I missing?
Yeah,
Danny Stutzman. I mean, yeah, all these guys have really stepped up and done a great job. They've been professional about the way they've approached their craft. Even Vernon Broughton, who, you know, we didn't get a chance to see a lot of because he got hurt pretty early. I think we're excited about his prospects. Maliki, a tight end. Fidel, I mean, all of them, just to a man. I think we're really excited about this class and have a lot of high hopes for them going forward.
It was one of your better classes in a while. Was there anything that you identified in your class to keep the lowest players that changed from how you guys were doing things? Or is it, you know, the introduction of the new coaching staff to get their input? Like, what do you think kind of led to a better hit rate on?
Yeah, look, we've had some really great classes, you know, 2006, 2017 come immediately to mind, but there's been some other ones as well. So, you know, it's gonna, you know, you're gonna have years where, man, it seems like everyone's working out and doing well, and this is early, you know. We shouldn't be judging our draft class after 1 year. We need to wait a few years, but we're pretty optimistic at this point. And, you know, some of that's circumstantial, like, so Jonas got his opportunity, Quincy got their opportunity because of injuries and circumstance. And so, Sometimes, you know, you have years where you have draft picks that, that don't get those opportunities, and so it takes a while for them to be able to perform. So, but we're excited about it, is the bottom line.
Yeah, pressures of Chase Young seeing
that contract got
more.
Well, my first impression is I wish he would have been able to play 17 games, because I think when he came back after week five, that really impacted our defense. And you know, the way they performed from that point forward was pretty spectacular, I thought. Brandon Staley and the entire coaching staff did a great job. The players bought into the scheme and the system, and just every week it felt like they got better and better, and all the way through the end of the season. So that was impressive.
Alan, how would you describe working with Brandon Staley and the job he did, especially, like Mickey said, once Chase Young came back in the second half of the season?
Yeah, I just give a ton of credit to our defensive staff. You know, you can see the improvement, like Mickey was saying, throughout the season. Their ability to connect, you know, it was a staff that a lot of people from different places, and so getting together and coming together and getting alignment, I thought was critical, and I thought they just did an excellent job of that. And their adaptability, I thought they did a really good job as the season progressed. Adaptability, willingness to adjust, you know, based off kind of matchups and personnel and all that fun stuff. But we got a bunch of really good people, and so I felt great about it.
You talked about it multiple times before, but what has been that special factor for Kelvin that's allowed him to continue to ascend week in and week out?
Yeah, I think he's just really, truly at the end of the day, he's a humble, hardworking guy. He doesn't let mistakes snowball. You know, to go play left tackle in this league as a rookie, and to play as many hard downs as he's had to play against some of the premier players in this league. That's as hard as it is. That's as hard as it goes, and his willingness to just go for it, embrace it, get better each week. Tons of credit to him, and we're fired up to have him.
Several players, veteran or otherwise, have kind of expressed a desire to be a part of what's being built here. What does that mean to you, and how do you go about creating sort of that environment for players to be part of?
Yeah, no, I certainly think it comes down to people. It comes down to having really, really good people in the building, which certainly, I think from an evaluation process, we just put a ton of emphasis in for a number of years, and that's allowed us to have the type of locker room we have. And then just the consistency of how our players, how our coaches, how everyone operates from a day-to-day basis, I think hopefully it creates an environment that allows everyone to be their best.
I mean, was there ever a serious consideration of bringing in a veteran quarterback after Derek retired? Or did you guys kind of right away feel like, let's go with the other guy?
Well, the timeline didn't fit that. You know, I think the veteran quarterbacks that, you know, you would bring in and compete for your, you know, the position were pretty much all gone.
Yeah.
You know, by the time that all got settled out. So, yeah, we had some discussions about that, but the opportunity really didn't exist.
And then part two of that is, I mean, did you leave it up to Kellen and the coaching staff, and you guys had a lot of discussions about the ideal timeline for Tyler and all that, or like, once you give them their roster, that's completely up to them. And then did you like the way that ended up playing out, obviously?
Are you talking about in terms
like
of when Tyler played?
At the beginning of the season.
Yeah. That, you know, who is starting, who is playing is the coach's decision. But certainly we had a lot of discussions about that during training camp, you know, during the season. But, yeah, obviously I like the way that turned out. I think it was exactly the right way to approach it, and I think Kellen and his staff did a great job of developing the position. We got, you know, it wasn't just one young guy; we got three young guys in that room, and that's a difficult proposition for as a coach. And I thought they handled it perfectly.
Is that going to be a possibility for this offseason to bring in, since Tyler is going to be your guy, like a veteran who's been there, done that, that can just potentially?
It's a good question. We feel great about that room. You're always trying to raise the level of a room, trying to get better, trying to improve. I think, you know, one guy in that room that, you know, kind of lose sight of is like Taysom was in that room the entire year. He's been in some of the best quarterback rooms in the entire NFL. And, you know, his leadership, what he brought to those guys, even when he's playing his role where he plays, you know, every other position, he brought an excellent form of leadership to those guys and experience that they were able to lean into.
Kellen, Cam DeMar, I've already said he wants to play in 2026. Have you talked to Taysom about whether he wants to play in 2026 or retirement possibility?
We'll talk through all that process. I think for all these players, I think the goal really is, you know, I'm just appreciative of their work. That's the most important thing. And then the offseason is the offseason for a reason. You let the emotions get away from all these seasons and all that sort of stuff, and then take some time. And, you know, we'll have plenty of discussions, you know, with everyone.
What is the timeline for y'all's sort of evaluation process this year? Usually kind of take a week away and give them how you plan to.
Yeah, same. We're going to, you know, give the next 10 days. And I think Kellen's letting his staff, you know, take the next 10 days or so. They'll come back and we'll walk through the evaluations, their evaluations of the players, and then from that we'll start generating our off-season plan.
Are you saying that with Spencer Crowder, because he deserves another opportunity to start? Would you be open to
moving
him? Did he express an interest in
being
traded?
No, I mean, we're not anywhere in that. We haven't had any kind of discussions about that.
What role do you think, like, patience and not being overly reactionary has played in building this thing, like, possibly 3 times now over the last couple of decades? Like, just not overreacting to the noise and giving guys time to do their job and grow, and maybe not even, like, pushing, like, hey, you got to get the young quarterback in there like some teams do. Like, how much do you think that helps with building this organization?
How much does it help? I don't know that I can answer that. That's just, you know, that's really... I probably am overly patient. sometimes your greatest strengths become become a weakness, and so I'm really patient, I feel like, and whether it helps or not, hopefully it does. I think it does, but you know, I'll continue to be that way. I we're excited about Tyler. You're all excited about Tyler. We're excited about Tyler, but we have to remember that he hasn't had 17 starts yet, and so we're going to go into next season with these high expectations, and there's nothing wrong with that, but we also have to temper that by the fact that he's a rookie, not a rookie, he's a second-year quarterback, and he's had less than a full season to start, so we got to keep that in mind as we go forward, that you know, there are building blocks here, and we cannot skip any steps.
We're running a transition, just like that. Follow up on that exact thing by maybe getting a little overexcited about Ballard, but
yeah.
When you do have somebody who does have some optimism at that position,
yeah,
is that like an attractive part in bringing people to the organization? Like, and there's a lot of other things to go into that.
Well, absolutely, yeah, absolutely. I think, for example, in free agency, I'm not going to necessarily use Tyler as an example, but you know, players want to go to a place where they think they can be successful, and success, part of that success is definitely winning. And if you have a quarterback prospect or a quarterback that you feel really good about, obviously that's attractive. It's attractive for coaches, it's attractive for players as well, and helps you in that free agency process. That happened for us, you know, with Drew, and it happened really right after we got him. And then, obviously, as the years went on and he got better and better and put up these spectacular years, then, you know, you go to the top of the list of places where players want to come to and coaches want to come to. So, yes, it definitely is a benefit.
Going back to the transitionary time, whenever Tyler did move in to become his own quarterback, what let you know that was the right moment for Kellen to switch him over there?
Well, I think that's a question for Kellen.
Yeah, no, I think as we've, what I think Tyler did an excellent job of is, you know, Spencer earned the right to start coming out of training camp. That was first and foremost. I think everyone was aligned on that. Spencer earned the opportunity. I thought Spencer played some really good football early in the season. I think he gave us an opportunity. We didn't win games enough, but he gave us a lot of really good opportunities. And then Tyler just had a really good vision and plan to get better. And whether it's in the classroom, whether it's being the scout team quarterback, his preparation, he was always ready if the opportunity presented itself. And so I think it was certainly a healthy combination of feeling like, you know, we can take another step, we can get better from an offense collectively. But I thought also Tyler, more importantly, felt like he'd taken some steps that he was ready to, you know, have an opportunity to play. And, you know, I thought he did some really good things. There were still some bumpy roads, you know, like we played some games that were still hard early when he started, and he just kept staying steady, kept getting better. And, you know, I thought he grew as those opportunities presented themselves.
Did those steps accommodate into one enrollment, or was it a matriculation of a lot of things?
Yeah, he's got better. He's got better each week. I thought his ability to respond to some adverse situations, I think, was a really good indication of his ability to play football at a really high level in this league. And, when you throw an interception at Miami, you respond and play really good football in the second half and give yourself opportunities and then respond again the next week, at Tampa, in really rainy, challenging conditions and run the football for some big-time plays. He just did a really good job of getting better.
I think this is probably too soon for this, but Terry Bonham,
yeah, I mean, that I haven't thought about anything like that. I'm disappointed for Terry. I thought he did some really good things there. I think, he built a really good roster, but sometimes those things don't work out. I feel bad for Terry and his family. I think the world of Terry Fontenot. I think he's a fantastic football administrator and he'll end on his feet. He'll end up, whatever he ends up deciding to do, and wherever he goes, whatever team ends up with him, they're going to be lucky to have him.
And just going back to the Trevor Penning trade from the deadline, who do you kind of take as lessons and executive when that happens? Just his development overall, trying to hold positions, drafting in, who do you take from that as an executive?
I think. Listen, he's not the first player that we drafted that our vision for him didn't really fit what his skill set was, ultimately, and the development timeline didn't fit. And so that happens sometimes. And you go back and you look at it. Okay, what did we miss? I mean, we'll go through that. We've gone through that process. We'll go through it again. And look, I still think he has an opportunity to be a successful player in the league. It just didn't work out with us.
Mickey, what do you kind of take on your assets that you have this offseason, like a top 10 pick in the draft, maybe some more cap flexibility? How do you feel about where that's going?
Yeah, I mean, I feel good about that. I think we're going to have an opportunity to impact our team, I'm excited about the draft class that's coming up. Discussions I've had with Jeff and his staff, there's a lot of players that will fit us at a lot of different positions, so I'm excited about that. I think the depth of this draft class right now looks pretty good, and I think we're going to be in a position to kind of take the best player that's available that can impact our team, as opposed to we have to have this position or that position. Obviously, there'll be positions that we prefer, but I don't think we're going to be in a position where, hey, we have to get this particular position. So I'm excited about that.
Does that up the odds at all, the ever-elusive possible trade back, if there is have to go a direction?
It helps the odds, yes. It does.
Cal, I know it's going to take a thorough review before you have your list, your priority list, but is first quarter offense, start of game offense, I mean, you already know that's going to be something that you have to do a deep dive on?
It'll certainly be on the checklist of items we just want to evaluate, and that's just collectively as a football team in all three phases, just starting faster. Obviously, we can see the numbers. We recognize the impact it had on some of these games, and we see a lot of the good football that we played in some of these other quarters, and if we can marry that up with the way we start, we'll be in a great position.
Mickey, can you get a sense of the optimism around town for this team? Even in a 6-win season, the optimism around town, and so how do you process that? What do you feel about that? Do you pay attention to that at all?
Look, you can't... I'd probably be in a coma if I didn't... recognize that there's optimism, and that's exciting. Look, I want our fans to feel optimistic and have a vision for, the same vision that we have for our team. So yes, I do feel it. I'm excited about that, just like I'm excited about our team. But I think one of the things that I do pretty well is tune out the noise. Tune out the noise when it's negative, and I think it's equally important to tune out the noise when it gets optimistic too. You have to, find that balance, and I think that's one of the areas that I do a good job with.
Kevin, what did you make of the job that Bo Galliano did with a bunch of things for
Yeah, I think we had a lot of moving pieces there. And so I thought credit to Phil of kind of helping navigate that, you know, from a, you know, punter battle, you know, that kind of went through all of training camp, made a change at the kicker position midway through the season. You know, Sheed obviously with the trade, you know, halfway through the year. So we did have a lot of moving pieces there. And so I thought I did a really good job of helping a lot of young players get ready and prepared to contribute on our football team in the special teams that we're a little bit new to that aspect of football. And so, you know, are there areas that we want to improve on and get better? Absolutely. And that's certainly something we'll do in all three phases.
Kelly, how would you assess just your first season of just in-game as a head coach, that balance of calling plays offensively, but also kind of taking the full view of, like, what's going on in the game situations? How would you feel you did in this first
season? Yeah, like every area, there's going to be things that you're going to look back and want to improve on and get better and improve our process collectively as a football team and certainly as a staff. And so, yeah, I'm going to go through that whole process as well. I thought you know, calling plays and then managing the game management aspect of it. Obviously, you don't do that until you do it. And, you know, so I feel like our process has gotten better and we'll continue to try and improve that.
Did you feel like you had a comfort as a season, especially at the second half season? Did you feel like you had more comfort doing that?
Yeah, I think just, you know, we had more time together on that task. We had more conversations. We were more prepared to be proactive in some situations, and so certainly feel better.
Helen, when you talk about special teams, like when a player like Jonas Sanker, who probably went into the season as a core special teamer and then becomes a starter, how does that impact that special teams group?
Yeah, I think the injury factor, I think, is a big part of this. You know, our vision of Jonas is he's going to be a four-core special teamer, and after 1 week, he's our starting safety. He plays a ton of snaps there. And so, obviously, there was a next-man-up component of this. And so, certainly, some younger players that were able to contribute on special teams that maybe started on practice squad or started as kind of an inactive player that quickly became the key contributors there. I thought those guys got better as the season went on. They embraced those roles, and I'm excited for the growth opportunities that those guys have.
All the defensive players talked about how they had trust and love playing at a Brandon State. How much confidence and ease did it give you during your first year having a defensive coordinator who could take care of the type of ball?
Yeah, Brandon's done a phenomenal job for us. Obviously, my experience with him in the past obviously was a great resource, you know, with our opportunity to team up together in Los Angeles for that 1 year. And so I thought Brandon did an excellent job of working with a staff that obviously, again, came from a number of different places, created an alignment. And then I thought the players and the coaches had a really good combination of buy-in and working really well together.
The projections when it comes to the salary cap number for 2026 still show what would be an overage for you all in that area, but the amount is sort of light work as compared to what you had to deal with in the past, navigated the past. Does that change at all? Not necessarily signings and things like that, but the restructure plans, does that change at all sort of how you go about maneuvering around getting to compliance?
Yeah, I think just the volume of things that we need to do is really what changes. You know, those numbers, when you look at them at the end of the season for any team, there's a lot of nuance behind all of it. You know, you see a number, you don't see how many players are under contract, how many voids exist, how many of these, you know, balloon numbers exist for the next year that you knew all along you weren't going to. You know, that wasn't going to be their contract. So there's a lot of nuance to it. But, you know, obviously over the last two or three years, you know, those things that we have to do to get under the cap have diminished. And this will be the lightest work that Kai has to do over the last couple of years. That's a good feeling. Yeah, we're going to definitely feel good about that. And, you know, remember that COVID year and that impact on our cap and every team's cap, that was a blow out of left field for us. And so we've had to overcome that, and it takes a while.
For you, Mickey, was Jalen Polk somebody you were high on going into draft?
Yeah.
And is that why you wanted to pursue him, like, tell, like, what's kind of your vision for once he's
Yeah, we're definitely high on Jalen in that draft, I mean, we talked about, you know, taking him at certain points, and so obviously we went and took him, and the opportunity came up. You know, they had changing staff there, and we had an opportunity to get him. We knew he's, you know, not going to be able to play this year, but just looking with our eye forward, yeah, we're really excited about him, and his rehab's gone well, and he's been great in the building, great in the room, and well, can't take it.
Yeah, again, I think just, excuse me, echoing a lot of the same things. I think really good example of just Nikki and the crew being really proactive and recognizing an opportunity that, from a longevity standpoint, is going to give us you know, a guy that we all felt really good about. You know, I was in Philly for 2 years ago when he went through the draft process. Everyone felt really good about Jalen. Again, an example of, you know, sometimes a change of scenery can be really beneficial for someone. He has been excellent this entire process for our opportunity to kind of go through the rehab process with him here with our guys has been excellent. His work in the classroom where he can still be, you know, around those guys has been awesome. And so I think it's going to provide him an opportunity to be just so much further ahead when he gets to the spring ball where, you know, he's not going through that transition now. He's already gone through that process. And so obviously we feel like he's going to be able to play a really beneficial role for us.
I may be getting way ahead of myself here. I apologize. But Drew expected to go into the Hall of Fame. Is there a chance that you all would request to play in that game knowing that it's an extra week, an extra preseason game? I don't know if that's good or bad or something that you would want to do.
Yeah, oh, we thought about that, obviously. And we don't want, you know, I don't want to just assume that he's going to get in the Hall of Fame. but, yeah, I think that, I think it'd be a good thing for our team to experience that. And experience, you know, that whole experience of the Hall of Fame is, I think it's really good for anyone involved in football and anyone who's a fan of football. And the fact that if Drew gets in, I think it'd be a great thing for us to play in that game.
Would that factor into your decision of whether to go away from
campus? Yeah, we'll talk through that whole process. I think that's, obviously there's a lot of factors with that. Going from what your regular season timeline looks like to certainly what your preseason schedule is going to look like. And so that's an off-season process we'll go through. And obviously we've had a lot of benefits of just the different opportunities we've had.
Maybe you brought Drew and Jari into this organization. Your thoughts on their candidacies for the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, they should be in there. Slammed up. That's what I think.
Why?
No, I mean, I just think when you look at their body of work over time, two of the most, I mean, obviously Drew, do we even need to talk about Drew's candidacy? We should. But Jari, I mean, he was one of the most important elements on an offense that had historically over that time frame, and, you know, you've written this, Jeff. It was unlike anything seen in the NFL in the history of the league. And that period of time where there, I think we were number one in offense for six times maybe. The amount of points, the amount of yards, just the offensive output. And Jari was a huge part of that. And obviously I think there's a disadvantage when you play in this, one of the smaller markets that isn't, no offense to any of you, a media hub. But I think Jari would already be in had he played for the Bears or the Giants or one of these big market teams. He'd already be in. That's what I think.
Do you think his role in at guard and the way you all set the offense with, around the 6-foot quarterback?
Yeah.
It's kind of overlooked a little bit?
Yeah, I do. I do think it's overlooked. And, you know, the interior of the line, I think oftentimes gets overlooked in our league, the importance of the center and guards. And certainly, with, you know, with Drew, you know, keeping that spot, you know, 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage was important to protect that. And Jari and the guys that he played with over the years did a great job during that time frame. And again, Jari was a huge element of that. Yeah, I think he should definitely be in the Hall of Fame.
I want to know about Tyler. Just asking the other day, just. It's been a whirlwind since he got drafted. We talked about his staying here and his wife's pregnant. We talked about a checklist of things. I know you talked about going from here to your house and kind of focused on this. Is there anything that you're kind of, your first chance in a few years to maybe sink into an off-season? Culturally do.
I've had a few transition off seasons, so I'm excited for this one. You know, this is going to be a build off of the previous year. We're excited to just be here and just get to experience the city, the community, you know, Mardi Gras.
you know, Pelicans last night, going to that game with the kids, and so we just love that.
What are the next steps for Tyler?
Oh, there's plenty of steps. I think, you know, I think, again, it's just growth, growth, growth. Just keep getting better. Keep communicating at a high level. And so, you know, he'll put together, I'm sure, an excellent offseason plan to take advantage of the time that he has.
I'm curious about how you feel about the number of sacks you took. Is that kind of an area where you
can get better? I think that's just a collective thing. I don't think that's necessarily, yeah. Does Tyler want to get better? Absolutely. Can we get better from a protection standpoint, play calling standpoint? You know, obviously there's plenty of statistical things that we can look at and say, hey, let's get better here.
I mean, you just talked about how there were players that you weren't available to injury and things like that, but more really time on than anything else. But with this year coming off of how things were and things going forward, really such a big impact, how do you feel about how that process went from Ted Rath's job and, you know, the job?
Yeah, I think Ted and his staff did a great job. You know, our soft tissue injury rates were significantly impacted in a good way. Obviously, you don't want any injuries. You know, some of them were circumstantial. So, I feel pretty good about where we're at. We're going to take a look at it again. You know, the things that the injuries that happen, when they happen, how they happen. But I feel really good about that department.
Having said, Kellen, would you approach training camp the same way as you did last year, like with the workload based on how many injuries you had, or is that something that you have to evaluate for a while?
Yeah, I think you have to evaluate it. We have to go back all the way through our process for this last calendar year. Where can we get better? Where can we find more opportunities? There's always a balancing act in training camp. That's our best opportunity for physical practices. And so we do have to have them physical, be a little bit uncomfortable, push through some elements. That's why I like, you know, being here in the heat has some pros to that. But we got to get ready for a season, and those seasons are long, and we're expecting those seasons to be even longer moving forward. And so, you know, that's a process that we'll just go through.
I think for Sam Jordan to finish with 10 and a half back in the last few years, so what do you think of this season, and do you expect that type of rebound?
Well, nothing that Cam does surprises me. You know, when you've been with someone for 15 years, nothing he does surprises me. You know, his greatest quality is he just is always available. It's a miracle, on some level. But he's had lots of these years where he's actually, you know, produced in the second half of a season, you know, better than the early parts. And so, I'm not surprised. Excited about it. Excited for him. Excited that he still has the same joy when he comes to work every day. You know, he's always positive. He's always excited to be here. And man. That hasn't changed in 15 years. So, do we expect 10 and a half sacks from him? No, I wouldn't say we expected that, but I'm excited for him. Yeah, I think it's unfortunate he got hurt toward the end of the season. But you know, Alvin's always prepared. He's always been a talented guy. I don't see a lot of difference there. And, you know, I haven't had a conversation with Alvin, you know, since the season ended, so I'm excited to have that with him and see where he's at in his mind space. Alvin's been such an important part of our team for the last, you know, 9 years, whatever it's been. He's a talented player. We have to give him the right opportunities and we'll see how that goes going forward.
Kellen, when you win four of your last five games like this and have, you know, momentum in a number of ways, what's the biggest positive impact that can have on coaching staff, on players returning, and all that good stuff?
Yeah, I think it just leads into our offseason program. I mean, you know, the 15 weeks OTA start, you know, the phase one. So it's like, for these guys, I think the optimism and the way we finish obviously provides some juice there. And then, it just puts these guys in a position for this offseason. These guys go away, they go do their own thing for a little bit, but it puts them in a position to have a really good plan to get better. And then before you know it, we'll be back together getting better and take advantage of that opportunity.
Mickey, the way you rave
about one or two more questions, please.
The way you rave about Jarvey Evans and his ability to help set up the offense for Drew. You have a taller quarterback now, but you got your tackle shored up. How much is the interior of the offensive line going to be a priority?
Yeah, well, you know, I think the number one thing there is we've got to stay healthy. You know, Eric McCoy is a really, really good player, but he's, you know, he's been injured the last few years. So we have to, you know, examine that. Hey, are we putting him in difficult positions? How can we, you know, correct that and not let that happen again? Caesar's a really good player, and yet, you know, we've got to get more out of him as well. Obviously, you know, Dylan stepped in after Trevor, you know, the Trevor trade. I thought he did a good job. So we'll evaluate that interior offensive line. But and I think, by the way, we had a number of guys step in. Luke came in and played for Eric and did a good job. But we're going to have to evaluate that position. And we've got some free agents there. So it's going to be an area that we pay a lot of attention to in this offseason.
Going back to the wider coach. Don't have to do as much work with the maneuvering that has. Does that allow you to be aggressive if you want to be?
Yeah, I mean, it would. You know, we got to be judicious. We can't just go out there and just start, you know, throwing contracts around and doing things that we wouldn't ordinarily do. But we do have, we will have some different opportunities.
Thanks, Kellen.
All right.
That is a wrap on Kellen Moore and Mickey Loomis' season-ending press conference here at the Saints Media Center. Ochsner Performance Center.
Correct.
And impressions from this one, Jeff, obviously a lot of unanswered questions still. They need some time to do their evaluations. I think Mickey said it's going to be about a 10-day reprieve for guys and then come back and they start really getting into their season-ending grades for guys.
Yeah, I think one thing that always stands out with this team is they're never in a rush to get any of this stuff done. And you know, that's not true of every NFL team. You know, you look around, you see firings the day after the season. They call it Black Monday for a reason. There's always a process in their offseason. And, you know, they're going to consider everything, you know. And we went through, it was about a 50-minute press conference. Went through pretty much everything. They were asked about the coaching staff. They were asked about all the players. And, you know, I don't expect a ton of overhaul on this coaching staff. I know there's been some talk about a few coaches in particular.
Special teams was brought up.
Special teams has been an issue,
right.
And that's going to be the one to watch. But they're not going to, you know, you don't expect to hear, even if there are firings, like, oh, they walk out of the room and that guy's gone. Like, it's going to be a process. They're going to talk to everyone. They're going to do their exit interviews, all that stuff. The other thing to me is, you know, tempered optimism of, hey, like, yes, everyone's excited about Tyler Shough, right?
Right.
He started 9 games. There's a lot more to go. I don't think this team's going to suddenly go all in, but, you know, I do think they recognize that there's a lot of positives that they can be built on, and you may see some more aggressive moves this offseason compared to the last couple years where you've really seen one-year deals, not a ton of big money extensions handed out. I think that could start to change.
We did hear that Taysom Hill, they let us know, is dealing with an AC joint, but other than that, we still don't know much more about his future.
Yeah, and he's a guy that, it's a good example of, you know, they're not going to tell you high or low whether he's going to be back or not because they don't know, right? Like, they're going to give these guys time to cool down after the season, kind of let the emotions come out of it. And I think that's one of the big reasons this team is so particular with how long it takes and they are so intentional with that is, there's a lot of emotional decisions that could be made the day after the season ends. You know, 10 days, 14 days down the line, you're going to be able to kind of step back, digest, and make more level-headed decisions about where you are. I don't think Taysom Hill probably even knows at this stage whether he wants to play again next year. Those are conversations that have to happen down the line.
Right. Take, like you said, with the emotions and the instant finality of things. It's like, take that deep breath and just let things soak in a little.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think the tone of this press conference in general, you know, if you go back and you listen to the ones the last couple of years, it's a lot different. It's a lot different. I think, you know, there is a lot more optimism. There is a lot more kind of clarity on what this team is going to look like and how you're going to build. And, again, you're going to take those deep dives on special teams. You're going to take a deep dive on the offensive line, that sort of thing. You're going to look at Cam Jordan's contract, DeMario Davis's contract, Chris Olave's potential contract extension. You know, it sounds like there really haven't been a ton of conversations about that to this point, but there will be. So there's a lot to figure out.
Going to go back to our WWL studios and talk with Newell Norman. Newell, what were your impressions from this press conference here at Saints Camp?
Well, I agree with everything that you guys have outlined. One thing that I always find curious is they always kind of play it close to the vest because each decision that's made has a peripheral implication, right?
No doubt.
And it's piecing all of those pieces and parts together, the financial part, the operational part, and performance on the field and what's available out there. I mean, I think they have already started their process. I would be surprised if they hadn't, as to the availability of who's going to be coming out of college ball, who's available, who fits their needs. Mickey made one reference to it, but kind of in a general sense, I think they've already figured that out at a granular level. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, one of the interesting things Mickey said that I agree with is, you know, he points to Kai Harley and says, hey, you know, this is going to be one of the lighter lifts he's had to make in terms of making the dollars fit than we've seen in previous seasons. And it's true. They do have to make some moves. They do have to make some restructures and figure that out. But, you know, you look back at 2022, 2023, when you were really trying to kind of claw it back from COVID, and that made for some difficult decisions, and some players that maybe would have been off the roster aren't because you need to figure out the money and you push that cap hit down the road just to make ends meet. They won't have to do that this year, so I think that from a free agency perspective and from a contract extension perspective makes things a lot easier. But from a draft, you know, one thing Kellen Moore said last week is you know, this is the first, or I think he said it on WWL with us, is this, like last year, you know, he coached all through the Super Bowl. He got here way late in the game, and a lot of the scouting and all this had already kind of been handled. You know, he wasn't around for the Senior Bowl. He didn't get to do a lot of that. So, you know, he's going to have some time, some downtime, but then he and the rest of the staff really are going to be able to put their kind of fingerprints on this process in a way they weren't able to last year. And so I do think that this is going to be an offseason where you talk to Brandon Staley, you talk to, you know, Kellen Moore, obviously Doug Dustmeyer. They can have input and say, this is what we need. These are the type of players that, you know, we don't have right now that fit what we need to do. And I do think that you're going to be able to build with some of these draft picks in a way that you just weren't last year.
You know, I'm just kind of curious, and I agree, Jeff. I don't think the 2025 roster was one that he got to paint the picture of the team, right? But he's going to have that ability to do 2026. And when you're talking about some of these older players, I'm just kind of curious whether, you know, they actually fit the picture, and, you know, as he paints the picture of this team moving forward. Strategically, when do you divorce yourself, right, from these players at some point in time? And I guess it's the backfill of the pieces and parts from the draft as to what's available. Mickey referenced it early on when he talked about having, you know, some folks that have been around a while, seasoned players in the locker room, you know, playing, serving in leadership positions. I think the question for me would be how many and who?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm curious what you think, Steve, but, like, the funny thing is you went into this season saying, I don't know how Cam Jordan fits this scheme. Is he going to be able to drop in coverage? Is he going to be able to do whatever?
Looked like
Chase Young.
Was a nice fit.
Carl Granderson, all these guys really kind of, you know, you had questions early on, and obviously Chase Young hurt at the beginning, but all three of those guys really had strong seasons. Carl Granderson probably was the most underappreciated in terms of he was asked to do a lot in terms of dropping into coverage, and he was probably the best dropper they had. But, you know, it's all these players that you wondered about the scheme fit. It seems like they do. And so, you know, I think it's more about finding young players that you can develop more so than necessarily having to pull pieces out because they don't fit. But that's why this draft, where you don't have to take a left tackle, you don't have to take a right tackle, you don't have to take a quarterback, all those pieces are in place. Suddenly, you can go any direction.
Although Mickey did mention the fact they will be closely looking at the interior of that offensive line, and they should.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But the premium positions,
yeah,
defensive end, tackle, quarterback. You can only get those in the top end of the draft, right? Like, you're not finding those guys on day three. You can, but those are you know, few and far between. Like, if you really want a lockdown left tackle, you got to go get a Kelvin Banks on the top 10. You got to go get a Taliafuaga in the first round. And when you hit on those pieces, like Trevor Penning, you didn't hit there. You had to keep going after it. Now that you got those two kind of tent poles, there's a lot you can do inside that tent. In the interior, you can find those pieces in the middle rounds.
Looking for me, Jeff, you know, this team has those veterans that, you know, Newell was mentioning when do you move on from some guys? And it's hard, especially this season.
It is hard.
When you see a name like the DeMario Davises and the Cam Jordans putting up career year numbers.
Yeah, I mean, DeMario just set a career high in tackles.
It's crazy.
It's hard to look at that and say, oh, you got to replace that guy. I do think it's important to develop pieces with them because you don't necessarily have to hit the eject button if things work out. If the contract works out, if they can come to an agreement, what are you going to spend that money on that's going to be more productive than DeMario Davis, than Cam Jordan? But you do have to develop players, and you do have to get them on the field. And that's why I thought how they handled Danny Stutzman this year was important because, yeah. You know, he got meaningful reps. Pete Warner was there all year. DeMario Davis was there all year. Danny Stutzman still got those important developmental reps. And down the line, when you have to figure out how do we replace these guys, you at least have an idea so you're not in the Zach Bond situation, right?
Yeah, that one stings still to see him having all that success in Philadelphia now.
Yeah, I agree.
So after the 10-day hiatus that he talked about, obviously everybody needs to step away from this. What do you think in the list of priorities is from what you heard from them today happens first for them?
I mean, I think you do have to make whatever – if you're going to make staffing changes, you do have to do that early on in the process. You don't have to do it today. You don't have to do it this week. But if –
because you mentioned, Jeff, even too, the Senior Bowl is at the end of this month.
Yes. And I think that to some extent, like last year was tough because you're talking about a head coach and you wanted to wait on the process. And Kellen Moore, you couldn't hire until after the Super Bowl. So you kind of had your hands tied there.
Right.
It's not really the case this year. So I don't think they're going to rush into anything. But I do think if you are going to make – if you are going to move on from any pieces, that's the first thing you do. And from there, and you also have to keep in mind, the Saints can block hirings if they're lateral moves. They cannot block hirings for promotions. So, you know, you look at some of the position coaches that could potentially get hired away from this team, then you will have to suddenly fill those positions, even if you didn't want to move on. So that's a factor too. So that's first on the list. And then I just think you start going all in on the draft class.
And guys, there's a lot of teams hunting out there.
I mean, no doubt.
These coaches are dropping like flies.
Yeah, and all these new coaches are going to want to assemble staffs, right? There's six head coaches that are out. So there's a lot of work the teams are going to be doing.
Well, great job, guys. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us today. A lot of interesting information coming out. I know y'all will be digesting it over the next couple of days as well. So keep up the great work.
Cheers, Newell. Thank you.
That's good, man.
Thank you. All right, folks, when we come back, we will visit with Michael Heck, president and CEO of GNO, Inc. We've got a lot to talk about. And he brings with him as a special guest Seth Knutson, the CEO of Downtown Development District. We'll focus on Canal Street when we return. Stay with us.